Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
In Luke chapter 2, verse 8, you find some of the most wonderful theology in all of the Bible. It's full of surprises. It says, in the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. That is one of the main reasons we believe Jesus was born in the spring, because shepherds did those kind of things during the early months in Jerusalem. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you," and this is interesting Greek, it's euangelion, which means "I evangelize unto you good news." I evangelize unto you great joy, excuse me. Good news is euangelion. It means evangelize. I evangelize unto you not just good news, but the Greek is mega. Mega, great news, great joy. That will be for all the people. Today a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord, was born for you in the city of David. This will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped snugly in cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was a multitude in the heavenly host with the angels praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and let peace be upon earth to the people he favors." This church has been through some troubling times as far as people and lives in the last 3 or 4 months. So I have a question as we mitigate our circumstances and we head to the understanding of what it means to have a Christmas full of joy. How many of you would like to have more joy? May I see your hands? Well, therefore, I have a question for you. Does joy have the ability to die in the midst of sorrow? Has sorrow got that kind of power? Or is it what 1 Peter says? The joy that God gives us is inexpressible, full of glory. Those and many more questions are going to be answered in just a few moments if you'll listen intently. But the place you're going to find those answers is actually strange. You will find them there. In a stone carved box that once fed animals that now supplies you with nourishment. One of the things that I've always thought about Luke chapter 2 verse 8 is the thing that talks about how when God showed up, humans were terrified. You see, it's frightful news to anyone that has a conscience that God is in the manger. That, if you will, he's here. Because the great and the powerful in this world know of only two places where their courage fails them: the manger or the cross, of which they're afraid deep down in their souls, in which they shy away from. No powerful person ever dares approach a manger, because this is the place that thrones shake. This is the place that the mighty fall. This is the place where the prominent perish. You see, God is in the manger. I'm sure when the angels announced what they had to say, that fear broke out. Humans fell, and the scripture says, terrified. Terrified. Because wealth became poverty, and light became darkness, and assistance came in the time of abandonment. You see, Christmas is not about disrespectful human beings ungratefully tossing aside what has so disappointed them. But what amazes me, and listen carefully to me today, is that the angel said, humans fell down and were terrified because God was in the manger. That means that demons looked over the hills of Bethlehem and whispered to themselves, he's here. He's here. What do you mean he's here? He's here. How can he be here? He's here. And we have bigger troubles. He's in human form. You've got to be kidding me. Love became weak. But the same angel that saw humans cower said something interesting. He said, don't be afraid. And then he gave a reason for not being afraid. I want you to listen to me. Stay still and listen to me. God's in the manger. And I'm sure that the enemies of heavens, the hounds of hells, and the thieves of the underworld all gasped when they heard the angel on the hillside say, he's here. After 500 years of silence, where no one heard God, where one generation after another generation said, where is God? Have you heard from him? Has anyone written a book? Where did the prophets go? And for 500 years there was silence. And then all of a sudden he's here. You see, that was actually a gift from God. Now listen carefully to me. Because a dryness of a trial that seems to have never ended. 500 years of not hearing God. 500 years of never feeling God. 500 years of not even wondering or wondering if he was real or not. All of a sudden he shows up in the manger. Weak out of love. I'm talking about the kind of dryness that dries out your soul, the kind of dry spells that the enemy of God cringes at. Oh, Pastor Michael, you said that wrong. No, I said it right. The kind of dryness that God's enemies cringe at. How can God's enemies ever cringe at dryness? I'll tell you how. C.S. Lewis will help us in the Screwtape Letters. One demon looked at another demon, and here's what the demon said. If once these human mortals ever get through their dryness successfully, they become much less dependent upon emotion and therefore much harder to tempt. Where is he if he's here? Of all the places, he's in a manger. Listen, it's hard to understand. Listen carefully to me because this is very confusing. It's full of paradox. But as one demon said to the other in the Screwtape Letters, and I think they probably said it on the hills of Bethlehem, you know, it's funny how those mortals always picture us as putting things into their minds. In reality, our best work is done by keeping things out. Like the possibility that God would be there. I can expect it, understand it, if he came with the armies and the legions of Rome, but he's there. He's here. And it's frightful news to anyone who has a conscience. It's terrifying to the host of hell. It makes the damned of the underground shake because they know what it meant. If he's here, then he came as the incarnation. And that God, who is all powerful, became weak out of love and landed in human form. John 1:1. You see, the only way to redeem you from your screw-ups, from your sins, your adultery, your lies, my lies, was for him to come here in human form. Because the only way for him to save you, thus so you could be evangelized with good news, was for him to take on the human form of flesh where God would be with us. And that he would live a sinless life for 33 years, be crucified on a cross. See, you cannot talk about the manger without talking about the cross. And so, he comes and he's here. God is in the manger, but he's on a mission. And this is where I love this. Oh, this is so good. Listen, he's on a mission. He came in human flesh for a reason, because I'm sure one demon looked at another and said, this has got to be him. Because the last time we saw him, the Father spoke and said, your seed, Eve, will bruise his head. And we know that he had to come from the seed of Eve. And Genesis 22 tells us that he had to come from the seed of Abraham. And Genesis 49 says he had to come from the seed of Judah. And 2 Samuel says he had to come from the seed of David. In other words, he had to come as a human being through the seed of humanity. And if he ever could accomplish that, he could save the world. Micah 5:2 says something for those of you that don't believe. It says, Bethlehem Ephron, you are small among the clans of Judah, but one will come from you to be the ruler over Israel for me. And his origins is from antiquity, from eternity, and he will stand and shepherd them in the strength of Yahweh. Which means that hundreds of years before the baby landed in the manger, so that the demons and the shepherds could say, he's here. A prophet spoke and said, the smallest city in the world will give birth to the Messiah, and it shall be Bethlehem of Ephraim. But demons weren't the only thing shaking that night. God was in the manger. And I guarantee you, fear gripped the heart of mortal men. Poor men. Very poor men. After all, a shiver of fear should come to any of us that truly realize that God is here. God's in the manger. You see, human beings are dehumanized by fear. And this is where the story turns. The Bible says that the presence of God caused them terror. Not fear, terror. And what did the angels of the heavenly host say to these poor Homo sapien human beings? It said, listen, don't be afraid. And here's the greatest theology in the Bible for the Christmas story. Let me make something clear to you. Angels are real. They are the messengers of God. They do not chit-chat. Any nut on TV or next to you that says they've been speaking to angels all day has either been taking the wrong medication, smoked too much pot over the weekend, or there's something desperately wrong with them. Because angels do not chit-chat. They are messengers. One angel showed up in the Old Testament and slew 100,000 people. Angels are messengers, and they cannot speak that which is not of the knowledge or theology of God. So if an angel shows up, he cannot tell you the opposite of God's will or God's word. Or he's a false angel. He's a demon. And so an angel shows up and says, don't be afraid. And this is where I love it. This is where it gets interesting. Why didn't that angel say, you're going to get it now? I don't know about you, but I have a hard time with preachers who preach like God's mad. They're not reading the book I'm reading, or I'm reading it wrong, and I've studied it for 40-something years professionally the wrong way. That angel didn't say, that's right, you better be afraid. The angel didn't say, oh, baby, you're going to get it now. You're going to finally get what you deserve. No, that little baby in the manger could have called 10,000 angels. And Paul said that was the baby who held all things together. And John said that's the baby who was slain from the foundation of the earth. And of all the things the angel could have said that God told him to go and say to human beings, go tell them. I don't want them to be afraid of me. I don't mean to frighten any of you. Go tell them this is good news. Go tell them it's joy like they've never seen it before. And to think that the angel looked at people who were terrified. John the Revelator saw God and he fell down on his feet as if he were dead. And the first thing the angel said is, get up. Do you realize God doesn't want you to be afraid of him? That God doesn't want to frighten you? He's here. And number two, this is the mystery. Colossians 2 says that God wants us to understand with knowledge the mystery of God. But you see, there's a certain sense of wonder in the Christmas story. It's a mystery because God became poor. And he became weak out of love to undeserving human beings. And the secret of joy, if you look at the Christmas story and realize that God is in the manger and that he's here, and now that there's a mystery that you're meant to understand, is that in the manger you can understand joy, because joy is found in the midst of quietness. And joy is found in the midst of incomprehensibility. That when you're standing in front of God, you don't have to run away in fear. But you do not act like you understand it all. He's incomprehensible. Why in the world would weakness come to earth out of weakness? If he's God, why doesn't he come in the strength of the armies of Rome? If he's God, where's the thunder? But no, God is in the manger. He's a baby. And this baby is weak, but he's weak out of love. Makes no sense to me how a baby can get weak out of love when he's God. Listen, if I was God, I'd be like that new cartoon coming out. I'd be about that high, and I'd be shaving and have everyone fooled. I'd be the kind of the one that to play the act of the baby when mom and daddy left the room, I'd turn the water into wine and do whatever I wanted to do. But that's not how he came. God was in the manger, and he was weak out of love. And it leads us to this sense of of how God can become poor. God became poor in human flesh, and he became weak out of love. But the thing that gets me the most about this story is that there are no theologians here. I mean, you got the animals, you got the camels, you got the wise men, you got the shepherds, you got a 13-year-old, a 16-year-old girl that's having a baby as a virgin, you got a guy that probably lost his first wife marrying her, but I don't see any theologians anywhere. There's no priest, there's no great high priest, there's no one that thinks they know everything about God. Let me tell you something about studying God. All good theology has its origins in wonder. And what God is wanting from you this Christmas is for you to understand, number one, he's here. Number two, there's a mystery. Don't be afraid of him. And number three, you got to understand that that mystery leads you to wonder. If you really want to study God and you really want to know God, then you got to understand that all good theology starts with wonder. And God became a human. How many of you want to engage in holy theology, the holy study of God? Can I see your hands? Are you sure? The only way to study God at Christmas is on a bent knee in wonder. He's here. Only fools call themselves theologians and then say that my job is to solve the mystery of God. He's here. Why is he weak? Where's your armies? He's in the manger. And God has revealed himself in the flesh. Wonder is the only adequate launching pad for God to reveal himself to mortals. My next question is, what's he doing here? The mystery remains a mystery. I don't understand how he took the path of humility for reconciliation. Why did he become guilty for my guilt? Why is he here for my adultery? Why are my sins on his shoulders? Why does he become guilty for the guilty? And why does he stand in the place of godlessness for the godless? And why does love stand in the place of hate? I don't understand it. He became weak, dressed up like a human being, and landed in a feeding trough. Of all the paths he could have taken to greatness, he took the road of humility to reconcile me to him. His innocence is tainted by my guilt.
I completely don't understand. Why love became weak. It's easy. Esse homo. The incarnation of God. The unfathomable mystery of love. There's power in that box. But you can't approach that manger of Jesus Christ in the same way you approach the cradle of another child. Because he pushes back the high and mighty. He overturns and overthrows the powerful. He humbles the haughty. And he lifts up the lowly. And that's the one thing I do know about him. And therefore it leads me to my last point. I hope he doesn't see me. I hope he doesn't know what I've done. I know he knows. I know he saw it. But I have a hope, because a love that left people alone in their guilt would not have real people as its object. Because I do have something to hide. You know, maybe you're like I am. If we go to the court of law, in human court, listen, OJ did it, so can I. I can get away. But not in that court. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get to the place in my life where I say, what if God saw me? Jesus took upon himself the guilt of people, and everyone who is seen by God must begin to act responsibly. What if he sees me? What if he saw me? What if he knows? Jeremy, come on up. Let's get this straight. I'm a sinner. I'm minding my own business. And something not of this world shows up and tells me first not to be afraid. And then it says, because God is here. Are you sure that's what he said? Yeah. The Bible says the shepherds went and told everybody. Now say it to me again. We saw them, and the glory of God came in the room. And we were terrified. It scared me to death. I just shook. I felt like a dead man. And the angel looked at me and said, don't be afraid. God doesn't want you to be afraid of him. He says he's got joy for you. And the only way that he could have brought joy was to become weak like you. The only way he could have brought joy is if he came and they laid guilt, your guilt. The only way that he could have arrived is in humility. That God doesn't want fear from me. He wants humility. And because he came as a human being, John 1 and 1, flesh dwelt amongst us and lived a sinless life, and he canceled the penalty of your sins. It's called propitiation. He paid your price. And now when you stand in front of God, and he was in a manger, you stand justified, justification, just as if you never sinned. An unmerited favor, grace, came in the form of weakness, and God in a manger caused the demons and the shepherds to say, he's here. He's here. Luke said, your redemption is drawing nigh. God became a child. So where is the might of this child? Where's his armies? Where's his strong men? Where's his kingdom? Where's his throne? The might of this child is found in his poverty in the manger. That's his might, that he would lay down power for your benefit. And so what's the only answer for someone who realizes God is here and he's in the manger? What's the only answer for human beings who are afraid to approach him because I hope he doesn't see me for who I am? What's the answer? What do you do when God knows your faults and when God sees all of your screw-ups and my screw-ups? I mean, what's the official approach of God? Should I bow down? Should I run? Should I run from my life? He's God. Should I be terrified? No, the angel said, do not be afraid, because he's here, and this is him. This is that which the prophet Joel spoke of. This is that that came from the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is that who arises from the throne of David. This is that from the seed of Eve. This is that from the seed of Judah. This is that which Judah said shall be born in Bethlehem of Ephraim. So where is the might of this baby? It's in his poverty. Why would God become weak out of love? I don't get it. Why would he become guilty from my guilt? Why would he be my scapegoat? Oh, hallelujah, for the presence of God in this place. Why would he take the path of humility? God is here, and he's here to be touched. You'll never understand him without wonder and mystery. Only fools call themselves theologians that want to solve the mystery of God. In his incomprehensibility, he became weak out of love, and the power of his might is in his manger. With two poor parents. So what am I to do? I'm created a little lower than the angels. The only thing you could do, if you want to regain the wonder of God this Christmas, is to kneel down before a manger. You see, we say, oh, we'll kneel before the cross. But what fool's ever thought about kneeling before a manger? I think I get it. I think this is what the aim was the whole time. He's speaking to me. If I kneel before the miserable manger, I could take up my cross and follow him daily, because the only way to receive God is through humility. And when I really understand the wonder of God, and Christmas becomes a mystery again, because I realize God's in the manger, I can touch him. The only way to know God is to kneel in front of this miserable manger and confess that he's a mighty God. That was through the passive humility that he humbled himself and took on the form of man, Paul says in Philippians. And that he did not exploit his Godhead, but he came and he became a mortal. He lived this life with no sin and became the scapegoat, the final sacrifice. So I can rediscover God this Christmas with wonder. Wow, you did that for me. Did love become weak? There's a lot of you listening to me right now, and you're not right with God. If you want to continue to be a good sinner, stay still. Because there is no approaching God without humility. And this is the reason why. You're cold on God. You have had a dry season. You don't know where God is, and you wonder sometimes if he's mad at you because he did see you. But I want you to hear the greatest Christmas message you could have ever heard or hear, and that is, God sent an angel to say, hey, don't be afraid of me. Just humble yourself. And when you humble yourself before God and you get to the place where you don't have to have them all figured out, and you humble yourself before God and you say, God, I know your blood can cover the adultery. And God, I know your blood can cover my foolishness. And for somehow, I don't understand how you showed up in a manger and how guilt was laid upon you. And I sure in the heck don't understand how weakness became love and love came out of weakness. But maybe this Christmas I can rediscover the wonder and the mystery of God. And so you're here today and you're not where you need to be with God. I'm going to count to three and I'm going to give two altar calls. And I don't want you to play games with me. Let your prideful, arrogant soul stay in the seat. Because the only way you can ever approach God isn't in fear, but humility. And I can assure you that whatever's wrong with you and whatever you're going through, God is more than patient to walk with you. I've been there. I looked up to God and said, you can be my mom's God, you can be my dad's God, but you leave me the hell alone. That's my foolish words to God. But the day I humbled myself, the day I bowed my knees at a miserable manger, the day that I took on humility and said, God, I don't understand, but forgive me. My heart was filled with wonder. He erased my sins, even though they were as scarlet. He made them white as snow. And I understood what joy was, undeserved, unmerciful. Joy. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Praise be the Lamb of God. You've been trying to find God. You've been trying to find him. You walk past him every Christmas. He's not on a throne. He's not on a cross. He's in a manger. That's how he introduces himself to you. Humble yourself. You need to have a little talk with Jesus. Come and tell him all about your troubles. He'll hear your faintest cry. He'll hear you in the by and by. You got 3 seconds. Don't play games with God this morning. You want God to help you? You may be saved. Humble yourself. You want God to save you? Humble yourself. 1, 2, 3. Come. Come. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the Lord. The most powerful place you can be is at a manger. To regain the wonder of God. To regain the mystery of God. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. Come. Come. Number two, if you've lost the mystery of Christmas and you've lost the wonder of God in the manger and you need to touch Him again, I want you to come and say, God, restore the joy of Christmas to me. Do it on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Come. Want God to restore the joy of the season to you. Come. I know you're in.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.